Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
For all in Go status,
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What up, H-Town? On a Thursday, partly cloudy in the big city. Never too big for us in the plethora of topics that we bring to the table every single day right here on ESPN 97.5. I am with my main man, Barry Laminack.
What's up, man?
And behind the window is the ever-popular and growing by the day, no-hit Nick.
What up?
Nick Sharara. Fellas, good to see you. Coming off two really solid shows in which we were not only stellar in our entertainment division,
yeah,
but of course bringing it from a knowledge standpoint.
Oh, we brought the heat with
the
sports. We really did.
And we also brought the heat with the sperm and the
plasma.
With the plasma, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've covered the medical profession as well.
Very good.
And we made our sponsors happy, which there is nothing better in the world than making our sponsors happy. So if you haven't gotten on gotten your ticket and gotten on the train, the bandwagon is still here. So feel free to jump from the AM to the FM and do what you need to do and make sure you can find your listening pleasure with us every single day. And you can reach us and be a part of the show like a ton of you were yesterday. 713-780-ESPN. As you can text, you can call, and then, of course, you can tweet us. I'm at Pac-Man Joel with a K. He is at Barry is Funny. And Nicholas is at No Hit Nick.
Nicholas? Is that your real name, Nicholas?
No.
No?
I'm not allowed to say it, though, am I, Nick?
If you really want to say
No, I don't. I keep Nick's private stuff private. Look, I think I give Nick a hard time from time to time.
Which is okay. Don't worry about that.
But I feel bad because I think Nick gets upset sometimes. And I just want everybody to know out there that I love my man Nick, and I'm glad he's a part of the show.
I don't.
And that's between you guys. That's fine.
He's okay.
He's all right.
His intensity is a little bit borderline concerning sometimes.
Yeah, but I heard he was going to fight a guy.
See, here we go.
Is this what you talk about in the hallway?
I don't. People listen to the show. This is a good thing. We wanted this to happen, and it's happening. But in the process, you forget that you've said a lot of these things on the air, and people are like, so now they suddenly think that you're a fighter, and that's not good.
No.
I heard you were bowing up on somebody at a court. I have to make a name for myself.
The biggest mistake you can do is have that conversation with Raheel, because you know it's not going to stay with just Raheel.
Well, you think Raheel's spreading all my business?
No question. He's talking about your game, and he's talking about it.
Who'd you try to fight?
I didn't try to fight anybody.
That's not what I heard, Nick. I heard you were about to. You brought the cooler full of whoop ass, and we're going to pass out some cans.
I'm a nice guy.
At a game.
No.
You're such a liar.
See, here's the thing.
Joe, you're not going to back me up on this?
No, I mean, look.
Did it happen? Just validate that it happened, and I won't go any further.
Nick was definitely a man of the people on Saturday, and he decided that he was not going to tolerate certain words being thrown around.
Oh.
And he put his foot down.
Well, see, that's a completely different way to say it than the last time we talked
about
it.
You got hot-headed, didn't you?
No, that's exactly what happened. I like the way Joel...
Were you scared on the inside?
Was I? Ask Joel.
I don't know how you feel on the inside, Nick. And I mean, I know after yesterday's show, people are wondering about what people feel on the outside. But I'm not involved in it. I can't answer that question. Only you can.
Did you see fear
in his eyes, Joel? Tell the truth. It's all right.
No, because I had my back turned. And I thought it was two other guys trying to get it on, fight and throw down. And the next thing you know, Nick's knee deep in the middle of it.
Well, the problem.
Who was bigger, you or the guy you were barking at?
He was probably a tad bit bigger than I was. Yeah. And he had his twin brother.
What? You went 2-on-1?
I didn't know his brother was on the court.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, it was going to get dangerous there.
This is like The Rock versus D-Generation X.
Yeah, it was...
I don't know. I'm assuming that was an accurate reference to wrestling. I'm not a big wrestling fan.
So, from your perspective...
Yeah?
You got some things that...
I'm catching a little heat on Facebook.
Yeah, you fired it up a little bit, not just on air, but you just carry it over.
Well, there's no secret I'm not a big fan of children.
Yeah, you made that clear to someone who just had his has a 1 year old.
Well, that was your mistake. So
no, it was not.
You know, I don't mind that people have kids. I know that that's how we have to keep this earth going. Well, and not that it wouldn't keep going without us, but I know that's how we have to grow as a species. But man, there's a new there's a major airline that launched a child-free zone on flights. And it's making parents furious, and I don't understand why. It's Indigo Airlines is selling like 8 rows of seats that are kids free. Like if you buy a ticket, you're guaranteed to not sit around a kid in this section. What's so wrong about that? Like, why is it that kids have to be given free reign of an airplane?
But that can't be the reason why you're catching heat on Facebook for, is it?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
He's critical of, basically he's not doing it quite to the extent of on the air when he's critical of anyone that even considers having children.
I mean, it's like I said on air, like kids are creepy, kids are gross. Like, okay. But I put this out and then everyone's all up in arms like, oh, well, because I also, I went a little further and said that I would shush a kid.
Oh, there you go.
Like, I will shush a kid. Like, at Walmart, if some kid is running around acting a fool, knocking stuff off of shelves, I'll shush him and give him a hell. Every once in a while, I'll do it.
Nick, the problem is when you're that critical of children and you have cats.
I'll shush a cat.
It's not an easy balance. An easy argument.
I'll shush a cat, too.
Oh, I bet you will.
Actually, I look like a lunatic in my house when my cat starts meowing. I'm screaming at them like they can understand what I'm saying. I look like a lunatic. I really do. And what pisses me off...
You can't be critical of children when you're actually outing yourself on the way you speak to cats.
See, that's just it, Joe. I'm okay with being made fun of. I don't mind.
No, but I'm not making fun of you.
Oh, you should, though.
No.
It's weird.
I'm just saying, for the people like myself,
yeah,
who are very pro-children, but I also understand from the standpoint...
See, I don't
look,
hold that against
if, but
you.
If you just came out, I understand, because I've been on those airplanes. When you get the screaming kid that just won't stop, and you just want to, like, sleep or take it down a notch when you're on a flight, it's a problem.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
But I think that maybe it's all in the way the presentation happens, but for whatever reason, Barry has a way of getting people to get just a tad bit fired up.
Sure. It's all right.
And like, with it, dialogue ensues, and it's fun.
I don't mind being around children. Like, I have nieces and nephews, and I love them to death. I love my wife's nieces and nephews, great kids.
Because you can say bye to them.
Yeah, it's true.
But, I mean, so I will admit, there is one niece I have that gets on my damn nerves. I don't like, I asked if she could not come over for last Christmas, if she could just stay home.
That's too much.
And the rest of them could come, would be fine. Because she tears the house up. She's an idiot. I don't need that.
Nick, are you anti-kids? You don't ever want to have kids?
No, I'll have kids. I wouldn't be a fit father at this point in my
I'll
life.
I'll never have kids.
Which I would totally support 150%.
Yeah, so. I would never
especially
have kids
especially with
knowingly.
your tendency to want to fight.
Yeah, right? What kind of role model would you be?
Yeah, really.
So how do you like discipline a child if they're just completely getting on your nerves and dropping F-bombs?
Well, here's another good thing.
Yeah.
Travis is not in the studio today because Travis would go all Adrian Peterson on you guys if he was here.
Why?
Because he has not held back from the fact that Adrian with his switch is one thing, but he is not afraid to lay hand to child's buttocks and
I'm okay with that.
Children.
That's okay good. With that
That's the way I was raised.
Yeah.
It's just a different era right now. I mean, it's a different era, and the problem is that kids are getting smarter, too, to where everything, that when they get to a certain age, they can actually say child abuse, whatever you do to them. And yet... I was raised with enough discipline to, if you acted out, you got a warning, and then you saw the wooden spoon or the back of a hand.
Damn,
or,
wooden spoon.
Oh, man, my mom with that wooden spoon, and let me tell you something. So my mom and dad owned and operated a restaurant for 16 years, all right? So you got three, it was systematic. You got a warning, right? And with the warning came, the next one you're getting the wooden spoon.
Mm-hmm.
So then she would go to the drawer and she would show you the wooden spoon, right? If just the verbal wasn't enough, the audiovisual aid is there to help in the process of you better take it down a notch, right? But here's where it gets interesting and dicey. So my parents, because they own this restaurant, they took all of the stuff that was in the restaurant when we leased it out. So we had a Coke machine, which was really cool as a kid. But we had a lot of different things. Well, on the wall of the restaurant, they had a knife, a fork, and a spoon that were like really, really large. And the knife and the spoon and the fork were like crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, you know, for the walls. Well, they brought those things home. And so on our wall in our kitchen was a crossed, probably 3.5 to 4 foot wooden spoon with a fork. And my mom said, and if you don't shape up after I use the wooden spoon, I'm going to that one right there. And once any kid in my neighborhood or myself laid eyes on that bad boy on the wall, I was like, I'm done.
She's that mom. She would whoop the kids of the neighborhood too?
No, she threatened to.
Oh,
yeah. She would never lay hands on another. Although I wouldn't put it past her, but she never had to. But yeah, she was the mom of everyone in the neighborhood. But I guarantee you, everyone got the bug eyes when they saw that bad boy on the wall. And it was like, first of all, I don't want the wooden spoon, but if I get to that level,
I damn sure don't want the giant wooden spoon.
I ain't walking for a week.
Yeah.
So it was like that's how they laid the law down.
You know, my mom wasn't a big corporal punishment person. She would ground you or send you to your room or whatever. Now she would do the clean and jerk in the store when you were acting up.
That was yesterday's show.
She would pull your hand up and swat you on the butt. Like she would do, like if you were acting a fool, she would
get you airborne.
Yeah,
because
you would try to get, you know, because you try to cover your butt. So she would grab your hand so you couldn't and then swat you. But my dad was a belt guy. And what was worse is he would make you go get the belt. So you were literally, you were like going to get your own ass whooping, basically.
That death march going to get the belt.
The biggest mistake I ever made was coming back with the belt to his robe.
That was a great move.
I thought it would be.
That was fantastic.
Like, I was like, yo, you didn't say what belt. And then he went and got the belt and it was his cowboy belt and it was over. But man.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Not buckle, just the leather. But whoo, boy, that would light you up. But I'm okay with if you discipline your kids, that's one thing. And that's good. But man, it's the people that let their kids go crazy. Like there's a restaurant in Houston that is now kid free.
What?
There's like, yeah, it's like, it was an upscale restaurant that like one night a week, they just don't allow kids. And it's so that couples can go and have an enjoyable dinner without the fear of some kid next to them throwing lasagna on them and whatever. And there was a huge uproar about that. But what's wrong with that? I imagine even couples with kids want a night out where there's no kids around.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
So what's wrong with that?
I have no problem with it.
Listen, and I make a lot of jokes. It's not that I have a problem with kids. I just have a problem with bad kids. And it just seems like today, man, timeout ain't working because there's a lot of damn bad kids. A lot of kids need an ass whooping. Let's be real.
No, for fair.
They need the spoon.
And as a new parent of an almost 14-month-old.
You're going to use a spoon?
I don't know. No, we're not going to use a spoon. But Lisa and I have talked about, I mean, we're definitely, you know, we're going to make sure we're good parents. But the biggest fear is that you have a kid that ends up being that kid.
Yeah, or kills you. That's also a fear.
I would not go that far.
That'd be a fear of mine. They're bad.
And I can understand that. And that's why we get along. ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank and Barry Laminack on a wonderful Thursday afternoon in H-Town as Nick Shirara's behind the glass. And we're happy to have you join our class as we try and teach life lessons along with our opinions, entertainment, and sports. Not necessarily in that order. And one of the things we touched on yesterday that we had some fun with, which were some great quotes by the Bennett brothers, Michael.
Oh.
Who is a defensive lineman for the Seahawks, and Martellus, who's now a tight end with the Patriots. And we just gave you kind of a little teaser of some of their basically, and I was telling Nick about this before the show, they don't hold back.
No.
And they don't care who they offend in the process.
No. You think he's going to get fined for the stuff about Goodell?
You know what? Here's the thing I said yesterday. I said that he shouldn't, but because there's no consistency in anything Roger Goodell does, there's a good chance that he will.
Right.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
But I was, you know, I'm glad we both watched it. There was the E60, which, again, I'm a big fan of the 30 for 30s. I'm a big fan of the E60s. It was almost, wouldn't you say, of the 60 minutes, it was probably about 35.
Yeah, in fact, I almost missed it. I missed it when it aired at 8, but I recorded it on ESPN2 at like 10, but the Appalachian State game ran into it, so I got lucky and caught the full, about 30 minutes of it.
Yeah, it was at least 30, 35 minutes, I think, of a 60-minute show. And it was really interesting because it's two brothers that grew up right here outside of Houston.
A-Leaf.
Yeah, A-Leaf area. and kind of just highlighted how close they were as a family, some of the trials and tribulations they went through. Michael had a lot of health issues in 1 year in their high school career.
Yeah.
They both went to A&M, and now they're both in the NFL. One has a ring. The other one has a good chance playing for New England now. But they did not hold back. It was phenomenal television because they did not hold back on any subject matter throughout the entire show. And it's obviously they live their lives the exact same way.
Yeah.
And I think Martellus kind of goes more off the edge than Michael does. Because, like, from his time with the Bears, and we played his quotes of how he bashed Jay Cutler and the Bears.
Yeah.
But he kept his place there. And literally, Barry, you can back me on this. His place looks like an advertising agency slash Disneyland.
Yeah, it looks like it's a place you would expect to see, like, as an office in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's very modern.
His paintings are all over crazy. The walls.
Yeah, they showed... Was he the one that was drawing with crayons?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you're seeing a grown-ass football man sitting down drawing faces with crayons. It was crazy.
Yeah, and he flat out, you know, he does cartoons, illustrations. It's something that he wants to do. It's part of who he is. And,
very creative.
And his wife was real honest on it, too, saying... I believe that because I told you that he refers to him as like Marty the first to himself as like Marty the clown and some things like that, but they all call him Marty. But it's like Marty World. I mean, forget Wally World.
Yeah,
his wife goes, yeah, our house could pretty much be defined as Marty World. I mean, it's the world according to Marty, and it's his paintings and his cartoons, and the kids love it. But I mean, he basically just rips everybody. He came out and said, I hate Jason Garrett.
Uh-huh.
I never liked playing with him. He hated Jason Witten.
Yeah, because he didn't help him.
The great quote we had yesterday, and Nick, I don't know if you still have him or not, but the quote on the Chicago Bears period was just flat out radio gold. Here's a sample.
We just had a bunch of bitches on the roster. That's why we didn't win games. And coaches like the bitches.
It's always a problem when the coaches like the bitches. I mean, it's okay if you're in the club, but you can't have it when you're in the locker room. But that's just one small sampling. But I mean, your thoughts on it? I just thought it was great TV.
Yeah, no, it really was. I thought it was entertaining. There were times when they were, they were kind of real and down to earth. Like when you talked about when his brother was in the hospital for like mm-hmm. or recovering for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
Was it an appendix that ruptured?
Yeah, it ruptured and then caused
some toxicity in his body.
Toxins in his body,
yeah.
Right?
And that emotion that they showed was really good. You can tell they're very tight. But it was cool to see how real they are. But so you kind of expect, well, these dudes are a-holes. They're just out here saying things. But they look like they really do give back too. They do a lot for kids. They were talking about, you know, we want young black men to understand that there's different paths that you can take and there's things you can do. And we want to help them and foster that and help them grow. And it was really interesting, man. And, you know, in between all the Bears or bitches stuff, there was some really touching moments that you got to see the real guys. And I mean, that's the best word that I would use to describe both of them.
Yeah.
Is real.
And here's
real,
the thing.
Raw,
when you're talking
honest.
About, you were talking about just a grown ass man that plays football doing cartoons. But when they actually broke down how close they were when Michael got sick.
Yeah.
And Martellus literally doubled over and could not stop from weeping and could not speak. And Michael put his arm around him. And you could tell.
It was real.
They were best friends, brothers. Yeah. And there's another side to these guys. And they showed that other side, to your point, with the kids. But again, when you do a kids clinic and, you know, some kid comes in and say it's a Texans clinic. But some kid comes in and he's got, you know, the jersey of the Seahawks on. Well, they'll be like, oh, he's a good, you know, the Seahawks are great too, and it's Russell Wilson, that's cool. These guys were like, say it with me, the Falcons suck, and the Chargers suck.
Yeah.
And they were going through every team except for their two teams,
yeah.
And they were laying it online. They kept it real, but this is why you're attracted to wanting to see the show and listen to what they have to say, because they're real 24/7.
Yeah, no doubt. And they even talked about a little bit with the incident on the Bears when Martellus... during a practice, he got suspended. Was it 6 games or 6 days?
6 days.
Yeah, because
Kyle Fuller, their rookie defensive back,
pulled him down by the face mask, and Martellus jumped up and pulled him down by the neck and basically got on top of him and was going to punch him and said, I should be hitting you right now, but I don't want to. And what I liked about that was the story later when Brandon Marshall came up to him and said,
phenomenal.
Hey, man, we need that dude. He goes, you need me too. And he said, Brandon Marshall kept jawing, and he goes, look, man, do you want to talk or do you want to fight? And Brandon Marshall said, yo, man, I'm a six-time Pro Bowler. And he said, yeah, well, Pro Bowlers can get knocked out, too.
it was phenomenal. So awesome.
Oh, man.
Nick, you have to see it. And whether they show it again, check your or DVR.
They're showing it tonight. I think at like 8 or 10 o'clock.
I figured they'd play it.
But Thursday, they said they would play it Thursday on maybe ESPN2.
If we can get that quote, because the minute Barry started talking about it, it's so phenomenal good. Because Brandon Marshall's, you can see Brandon Marshall saying, yo, man, I'm a six-time Pro Bowler. And he literally said, hey, how about this? Six-time Pro Bowlers can get their ass kicked, too. It was just, it was fantastic. Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, you can see it. And the good news is there's still time to see it because it's still out there. So check the E60 that features the Bennett brothers because it is good must-see TV. I don't know what you guys did as well, but one other thing that's out there that caught me by surprise, but I caught the NFL football life on Keenan McCardell and Jimmy Smith. And for those people that just hear him on the radio, it's kind of like Calvin Murphy on TV. You think Murph's just the guy with the suits, and Mac is just the guy that joins us on the radio that played in the NFL. When you realize the numbers that Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell put up in Jacksonville, and they put it up over a six-year span, I think it is the most prolific duo in NFL history. And at the time they both retired, Keenan was number nine, mind you, in the top 10 of all time in NFL history, and Jimmy was number six. They don't get enough credit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's all I'll say. So if you can catch that, find that too. Hey, catch us every day. 1 to 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Oh, H-Town. Barry's funny. If you don't know, you better ask somebody. Barry Laminax with me, Joel Blank, Nick Sharara behind the glass. We're having another good time here in the studio. Welcome to the living room. We do, and you think we just say that like in passing, but it literally is like a living room in here. We have this.
Literally.
We have a leather couch because it's almost like a bachelor pad up here. And unfortunately, and fortunately for some, maybe in the overnight shift, there is a life-size bear on that couch that looks like he's gone a few rounds the wrong way, but he's on the couch. But we always say it's our living room, and you're welcome in at any time. You can chime in, you can ring the doorbell, but please understand we'll slam the door in your face if it's not good or if you try to be a cowardly keyboard confidant. We have plenty to talk about today on the show, and some of the early topics are drawing some interest, including, I believe, Diesel, who wants to chime in on Michael Bennett. Diesel, welcome to the show, my man.
How you doing?
What's up, man?
First time caller.
Well, welcome. Don't be a stranger, my man. What's up?
I met Michael Bennett's father, not Michael Bennett, but Bennett brother's father at a poker tournament when he was playing for the Giants, and his dad is just like them guys, because I had my Giants jersey on, favorite hat. He's like, oh, my son played for the Giants right now, so we had a little talk. He said, man, yeah, my sons are they're real kind of great guys from proud father, but they're kind of weird. He just wanted to say the same thing about him. But I heard he get it from his dad anyway because he was like a real outgoing person. I didn't know him from Adam. He just like started talking to me. We talked about poker, but yeah, a good dude, good family.
They had him on the show.
Yeah, and, I was going to say, yeah, he was part of the show.
He was talking about how he hated the Patriots, and then, you know, now he's got a son playing for the Patriots, and now he hopes Martellus gets a ring.
We should have kept him in New York, though. We should have kept him in New York.
Yeah, but the question was what happens if Michael and Martellus, Seahawks and Patriots, end up in the Super Bowl? Who you're rooting for? And he said, I hope Martellus gets a ring.
He wants each son to end up with a ring, but he, ironically, they're pulling for the Houston Super Bowl, and at least they were nice enough to say the Texans would be the team that loses in the AFC championship game to the Patriots.
But they're going to lose to the Giants anyway.
Okay, so get on out of here, Diesel. Whoa, Diesel, you're not gone yet. You're not gone yet. Are you guys going to turn it around? Because, I mean, you took it in the shorts 2 weeks in a row to the north, and including to my boys last week. So you now have the opportunity to right the ship, but you need a tight end you can throw to.
Yeah, well, actually, I played football in college, and the defense, I'm real happy with the defense, even though they have a lot of injuries. I'm real happy with the defense. I just can't figure out what's going on with the offense. I mean, on paper, we should be blowing people out.
But you got no running game. And I don't think Jennings will help.
Actually, I'm not sold on him. I'd rather have Darquan Orleans in the game because look at him. He hits 4 yards a pop.
I think the other thing is your boy behind center better start throwing some better passes because he had a couple guys wide open Sunday night and he missed them.
I'm sorry to say that Eli is digressing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's time. So Giants are three-point favorite at home against the Ravens. Be for real. Is this going to be four losses in a row for the Giants?
We have to win this game.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
Diesel, and we'll hold your butt to the fire. You got to answer the question. Eli Manning to the Texans for Brock Osweiler right now. You do it?
Oh.
Got to throw it out there, man. It's a hot topic.
No, I'm staying with Eli. Eli, I trust.
Good choice.
All right, good choice. Thanks for the call, my man. Don't be a stranger. Join us again sometime. Appreciate it.
Hey, so speaking of the Bennett brothers, we had a text where we were talking about them being from A-Leaf, and I think even in the show they said outside of Houston. But somebody texted and said, just so you know, A-Leaf isn't outside of Houston. It's actually in Houston. This is the funny part of the text. They said, it's just like Bel Air, but without the money. That's cold, Jose. That is cold, man. Why are you being
true,
like
right?
that?
Cold, but
true, yeah.
Yeah, see? You can't argue with it. I got plenty of friends that grew up in A-Leaf.
And then somebody
Rashard Lewis grew up in A-Leaf.
Somebody said that when we were talking about getting punished, they said that, I don't know who this was, but they were from 409. They said, we got switches and extension cords. Damn.
409. Here we go.
Extension cords. That's, well, I know that's Conroe. That's also, like, I know where that is. That's
down,
local.
409 is also Galveston, down Beaumont. Right?
Galveston. I don't know if it's Beaumont, but it's in the area.
Well, when I grew up, 409 was a way to keep it clean. 409 just gets dirtier and dirtier. I'm just telling you. And speaking of A-Leaf, because Rashard Lewis is from A-Leaf.
Yep.
My buddy, who is the equipment manager for the Rockets, is from A-Leaf. And it's ironic because the story came out yesterday. We were talking about it. LeBron James came out and was adamant about the fact that he was cleaning up the dirty laundry of the guys in the locker room for the Cavs and said, hey, it's like you got to keep the house clean. You got to do your chores. You got to do these things, and encouraging guys. And I started laughing. I started telling you guys, LeBron was actually nice about it because between Coach McHale and Tony, there was no holding back because, first of all, there was no locker room talk like certain candidates like to say. But in the locker room, I will say this. There is no censor button, and people are not afraid. And basically, Tony would take the whiteboard in front where they drop plays and everything like that in the front of the locker room, and he would literally write, I am not your mother, and you are grown-ass men. If you are going to wear it, you can throw it in the basket and clean it, or it'll be there when you come back the next day and you can wear the stuff for another day in a row because I will clean it, but you better put it in the right spot. And Coach McHale would walk in and go, just let me know who I need to talk to because if I need to explain what children need to be taught when they were kids on how to clean up their room, I will do that. And that's exactly what it is. You know, we talk about how many athletes are spoiled these days the different things that they get and, when they travel and everything else. But it gets to the point where just simple tasks, they just take for granted like someone else should be doing for them what they can do for themselves.
And it's about respect.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved about the story about LeBron James is the quote that he said when to Joe Varden of Cleveland.com. He said, hopefully I only have to say something once. We can't leave the locker room like that. And then in another article that I read, they said that if you know LeBron, this comes as no surprise. He has always made it a point to treat the locker room attendants with the utmost respect. And I think that's great because you know what? He's probably the best player on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And
you wouldn't expect it from him.
No. That would be the one you would expect that would be like, hey, man, I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried about these dudes.
There, right? So you want to keep the locker room clean so that the comments can be dirty if you're Donald Trump. But the other thing is that, again, when we talk about how athletes are anointed earlier and earlier, like in the high school and junior high days and AAU now and everything else, where everybody starts telling them that they're going to be a star, they're going to be a pro someday, so that everybody just keeps kissing their rear end.
Yeah, he had a Hummer in high school, didn't he?
I think he did.
Yeah.
But you see, at least he still stayed humble enough to do what he said he did. Because I'm telling you from experience and from a lot of experience, and I've worked for three professional teams, that the veterans used to be the guys between the playoff money. They would make sure that a share or two would be divided amongst the training staff, the equipment staff, all these guys. But as you get to the millennials and you get to the newer kids,
don't get me started.
In the last couple of years and a couple cases in my past, if you didn't have a veteran, Shane Battier was probably the last guy that made sure of it. Shane Battier, Francisco Garcia, John Barry, those were the guys that said, you're a millionaire. These guys pick up after you every day. These guys make sure you can get on the court. You need to take care of them, too. And now those guys are all gone. And it's a shame to see that the new generation of players really don't want to take care of those that make it possible for them to play and be clean and be ready every day.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, and it's funny because when you hear about these things, it makes you respect that person so much more, especially given their stature. Because I imagine that it's a lot of these guys that are, you know, sitting the bench and but still have that sense of entitlement. And it's like, yo, this is the best player on the planet. And even he can go around and pick up his own stuff. And he's picking up your stuff.
Right.
And it's a great example. And I mean, like, how could you not help but like a guy? Even if you don't like LeBron James as a player, you got to respect him as a man and as a person to have that kind of stance and respect for those guys.
For sure. And that's why I also gave Tony a lot of respect, because Tony was the guy that didn't care how much money they made.
Good for him.
He basically talked to him like a parent and go, I can treat you like a child if you'd like me to, but I'd really like to treat you like an adult, but then treat me like one too and realize that if you put your stuff in the bin, I'm going to wash it and give it back to you. And if you don't, there's a pretty good chance you're going to be wearing some functified stuff the next day because I'm not touching it and I'm not doing anything with it.
Yeah, man. That's
and
good.
You just got to learn a lesson. I mean, that's as simple as it can be. But at the same time, these guys, again, they you hate to see what guys feel entitled.
Yeah,
that they don't take care of those that take care of them.
Yeah,
and that's where you hope that, you know, someone gets a memo at some point and figures it out, because there's a lot of people behind the scenes that never get an ounce of credit or attention that do more hard work than. I mean, it's like if you're a janitor and you see a janitor, so you just take a Slurpee and you throw it on the floor in the school and you walk away.
Yeah.
And, oh well, someone you can clean it up.
Yeah.
No. They're in charge of cleaning up the accidents and the incidentals, not the purposeful. Mindless,
right. Not just a bunch of a-holes
disrespectful
being
moves.
Disrespectful.
Right. Yeah. What we are all the time is respectful, right? We respect that there are other people out there doing what we do. We don't need to take shots at them. We just want you to tune in us. It's very simple. Don't go to AM when you can go to FM, and you can pick us up every single day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, 97.5 FM. She will never
let your spirits down. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
It's a throwback Thursday, kids. So when in doubt, don't pout. You can make some money. All you got to do is go to BeASpermDonor.com. We told you about it yesterday. I'll tell you about it today. Welcome to the show, and we appreciate your sponsorship. But we're always looking out for you, the listener, in many ways that you didn't think of until we bring sponsors like that to the table.
Right.
We highlighted how you can make money doing what you like, or should I say what you could do.
Whoa.
Okay? Hey,
whoa.
I patted the brakes there, but I'm just letting you know. Hey, there are options.
Let's be real.
And we also highlighted the fact that Barry found out that there is no putback.
Yeah.
Like where there is the plasma at the end of the process, as opposed to BeASpermDonor.com.
Yeah.
Just letting you know. Hey, we're waiting on Trent Dilfer. He's a member of our four-letter family, the ESPN family. Trent joins us he's due, and Nick says he's good to go. Trent is on hold and being put in as we speak. Mr. Dilfer, we appreciate the time. How are you, my friend?
I'm here.
Great to have you on the show with Keenan McCardell. We have crossed paths a few times in Lake Tahoe, but great to have you join the show with your expertise as a we have some people that would definitely like your insight on some things going on here in H-Town with the red, white, and blue. So with that, how about I throw out the first question of the day, which would be, from a national perspective, from your perspective, being in that studio and seeing all the teams that you see, they're 3-2, they're in first place. A lot of people are already ready to throw in the towel, saying they're the worst 3-2 team out there, and a lot of people are jumping off the bandwagon. What is your perspective from the national perspective on the Houston Texans?
Well, I'm definitely not on the bandwagon to drop them. They were one of my sleeper AFC Super Bowl contenders going into the season. Now, that was obviously before J.J. Went down for the season, but I think this is a really good football team. It's really well coached that just isn't playing good football, and there's a difference. There's a difference between being talented, well-coached, a lot of upside in what I would call a good team to just not playing good football. I think it starts on offense. It starts with their quarterback. I think that he isn't playing with a ton of confidence. What I've noticed over my career in the NFL, both me playing, guys I've studied, now as an analyst, when you're looking at quarterbacks, you can't jump into anybody's brain, obviously, and know whether they are confident or not. But there are signs that a quarterback isn't playing with a ton of confidence. And one of the signs is when he throws the ball as hard as he can on every throw. Typically, quarterbacks aren't seeing it well, aren't playing with a ton of confidence, try to make up for that by just throwing fastballs all over the yard. And that's what you're seeing in Brock. You're not seeing a guy that is passing. You're seeing a guy that's throwing. You can work out of that. It's not a death sentence. It's something that's just not completely comfortable yet in the system and how things are flowing. I think he does all the right things off the field, which gives you hope. He's obviously a tough guy, which gives you hope. But he needs to play better. And as I think he starts to play better and play more efficiently and with more confidence, this team will start to see their potential. By the way, it's not a bad thing to be playing bad football for 3-2. I've been on teams that played okay football and start off 1-4. So you gotta, I guess, see the glass half full that I have to empty right now.
I like it. Trent Dilfer joining us. Trent, there's some quarterback controversies brewing. You've got the Gabbert, Colin Kaepernick controversy now. Blaine Gabbert's a little bit upset. There's talk up north in Dallas about Dak Prescott or Tony Romo. What do you do? What happens in that QB meetings when you have that tension? Like, you know, Gabbert came out and said he's displeased about being bumped. What's the tension like in those QB meetings when this happens?
It's a great question. Nobody ever asks me that question. It's a great question. It could be super awkward. It's like having a giant pink elephant in the room and nobody ever recognizes a giant pink elephant in the room. Honestly, I've been in the room where the one guy that's the most uncomfortable, you know, the most upset, just kind of sits in the corner with his thumb in his mouth, metaphorically speaking, and you just nobody knows what to say. But then I've also been in the room and have been this guy where you just try to add levity to it. You just try to say, hey, guys, this room has a ton of impact on our team. It's not just the guy playing. And how we handle this situation is largely going to influence how well our team plays and how they deal with it in the locker room. So I remember in Seattle one year, Matt Hasselbeck got benched. First year I was there, and I get put in the game, and we win the game. And then the next week he starts, and he's not playing well, and the fans are waving their towels in the air, chanting my name. And the next Monday, in the Holmgren made the switch again the following Monday, made me the starter. And that Monday in the quarterback room, you can imagine how devastated Matt was. And I came in with a white towel, and I just started swinging in the air, chanting my own name. Saying, hey, Matt, what you didn't see was I was on the stands, like, hyping him up when you were out there chanting my name. And even though I was kidding, and even though that he was still raw in his pain, you know, he could laugh, and he could kind of let it go a little bit. It allowed us to get through the situation. But if you don't have a guy strong enough to kind of add some levity to that situation, this thing can get really ugly.
Thank God that wasn't one of the Bennett brothers, because that might have been a different meeting room. But at least he took it the right way. But, hey, Trent Dilfer's joining us. 13 years in the NFL. One thing I know is throughout your career, you've been a guy that's always been very generous and giving back, and you're definitely concerned about a lot of things in the community, especially children. So why don't you fill some of the fans that listen to the show in on what you got going with the Super Bowl Kid Reporter this year with Panini.
Yeah, thanks for asking. And I always turn off the station when guys start doing their promotions on radio hits, but this is one you probably shouldn't turn because it's really cool. It's the only one I do all year. It's called the Panini Super Bowl Kid Reporter Initiative. And it's basically this. You go buy Panini trading cards, and all the kids are buying them anyways, and now you can even download them digitally through Panini. And in the deck of cards, I think they're called the deck, in the pack of cards, there's going to be a card with a special promotional number on the back. You go to www.paninikidreporter.com. You enter in the code, and if you win, you get to go to the Super Bowl.
Oh,
nice. And then you get to go Monday night to media night and ask questions, be a reporter and ask questions to all the guys in the booth. And I'm the one that preps you that day and gets you ready and teaches you how not to do things. I tell them, don't do it like me, do it like pros. And then the guys get to let you come up. It's so cool because you have all these people at the booths for the players. Everybody's pushing and shoving and asking stupid questions. And then inevitably every year the guys see me and the kid and they're like, hey, Trent, come up here. Kid, come up here. We get to the front of the line and the kid gets to sit there in front of Russell Wilson or, you know, Peyton Manning last year or whoever it is and ask their one big question that we prep for. And the players are super gracious, super generous with their time and their answers, and the kid just has an incredible experience. So, again, go buy some Panini trading cards or download them. enter the code on the back, www.paninikidreporter.com, and you'll have a chance to have an epic week.
Yeah, Trent, I'm on paninikidreporter.com right now looking at the past winners. Man, these kids look like they are having a ball. This looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
all their juice.
And we're going to put it on our, we're going to tweet it out, Trent. We're going to put it on our social media. So everybody, if they don't have the website at hand or they're driving, they can get it. So we'll make sure we get the word out because it's definitely something that's an awesome experience for the kid who wins, but great for everybody to participate. Before we let you go, a couple other questions. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you, because you played 13 years in the NFL and you won a Super Bowl. And we hear so much about all the quarterbacks today, and all these quarterbacks are griping because they don't like the title game manager. But you look at what's going on in Denver. You look at other places. If you just manage the game, you can do some really great things. And I don't know where it got to be where this is such an evil term, but from time to time in your career, you were a game manager, but you managed the game better than anybody, and you guys won a Super Bowl in Baltimore.
Well, I think what happens is, you know, that year I had in Baltimore was not very, I did not play very well in the Super Bowl. I played ball when I first took over the job. So people just couldn't understand, you know, how we could be that good and overcome, you know, two or three really poor games that I had. So this term kind of became the term for saying, well, it's a way of winning despite your quarterback. And I wish it would have been called something else, because game manager is actually a term of endearment. In fact, and I, don't take it from me, take it from Hall of Famer Steve Young or Hall of Famer Troy Aikman, who have been on record saying 80% of the position is managing situations, managing people, managing good and bad play calls, you know, all managing critical moments. That's really what separates the good ones from the bad ones. Now, you also have to be, have some juice in your tank. You also have to make some game-altering plays, and that's all part of the position as well. But it's too bad that it's become a derogatory term, because it really should be a term that when you talk about, hey, you know, so Aaron Rodgers does an incredible job of managing the game in critical situations on top of being a dynamic player. And I think Brock Osweiler honestly should be a guy that, with this team, he's got good people around him. He's got good coaches. He's got good defense. That if he just manages it a little bit better, a little more of a passer, is just a little calmer in how he plays, he's got a chance to win a lot of games.
Joel and Barry being joined by Trent Dilfer. Trent, Sam Bradford seems to be having a resurgence. Is North Turner a wizard and we just didn't know it? What's going on up in Minnesota that Sam Bradford is having so much success?
He is a wizard. I played with him 1 year as the backup to Alex Smith and never really got in the game because Alex was healthy all 16 weeks, but got to, you know, work with him, and I was coming off an injury, so it was good to get back to some basic fundamental stuff and how he conducts meetings, how he installs plays, how he interacts with the quarterback. His son, Scott Turner, who's the quarterback coach, deserves a ton of credit, too. He doesn't get enough, but he learned from his dad. I mean, you have to nurture these guys. You have to nurture. The quarterback has so much on his plate. The job is so big that just to throw the balls out and say, hey, go play, quarterback's going to flounder and fail in that situation. So Norv and Scott do a great job of just being that nurturing influence and keeping everything in perspective and really giving you a plan every week to go out there and be the best you can be and help your team win. And that's the other thing. They honor and appreciate the things that go unseen that help you win games, that don't show up in the box score. And I think for a quarterback, you take a lot of pride in that, because there's some days that, yeah, the box score looks great and everybody celebrates you and you're, you know, AFC player of the week or whatever it is. There's a lot of games that the box score doesn't look good, but you played your butt off. You went in there and you get an A-minus in your grade, your quarterback grade Monday. You only threw for 162 yards on 14 completions because that's the way the game went. And Norv is the kind of guy that will call you in front of the whole team and say, hey, we don't win the game unless the quarterback plays as well as he did. And everybody kind of rolls their eyes. Well, he only threw for 160 yards. And then he pulls out all the reasons why. Mm. And all the way the quarterback made you look good, receiver. You look good, offensive lineman. Or you look good, running back. And there's just that sense when that happens that your coach is in your corner that, wow, yeah, I wasn't great statistically, but I'm a dude. And I saw him do that with Alex Smith. I've seen him do it with a bunch of guys. Troy Aikman and Philip Rivers are both on record saying the best thing that ever happened to them in their careers was playing for North Turner. So, yeah, you want to use the term wizard? He's a quarterback wizard.
Well, Trent, we know that you have to spend a lot of time in Bristol now because you are a main part of the ESPN NFL coverage, both on Monday nights and also getting ready for the Sunday games. I got to ask how the golf game is, because I know, for one, that you cannot play a lot of golf in the middle of the winter in Bristol like you can in California, but I know that it was pretty salty there for quite a while.
Used to be a lot better than it is now. I used to be like a plus three. Now I'm a scratch. I had knee surgery in May. I haven't played a lot. I just started playing again a few weeks ago. I live in California, so we do get enough good days. I play twice a week, maybe. I'm a scratch, but I'm, you know, some days it's 71, some days it's 77. I played a great golf course, California Golf Club in San Francisco. It's an amazing place, got some great golf buddies, but it's not nearly as, I'm not nearly as passionate about it as I once was.
It's the one place where an itch is not as good as a scratch, because if you're scratched, that's pretty damn good. Now, the only other thing I want to ask you is, when you get Charles Woodson on the show and he has those ascots on, just once, can you borrow one or get one of those things off him? Because that new look is killing me.
Oh, yeah, no, we have some big things in store. No, okay. No, we definitely are going to have some fun nice. With the ascots, and Halloween might be the bust out moment. So keep tuning in.
Well, nice. We appreciate it, my man. Thanks for spending some time with us. We know you're busy, but again, we've got everything on the Twitter account. We're going to get it out on social media, but make sure you go to PaniniKidReporter.com. You have some chance to really spend some time with Trent Dilfer and be a part of the Super Bowl. So it's fantastic. Trent, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Trent Dilfer on the show.
Look at that.
Member of the four-letter family. Gotta love that. You know what that four-letter family is, Nick? ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.